We're going to be in the book of Luke. If you want to open up your books to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Today we're talking about commitment. And one of the amazing things about that word commitment, it has taken the status of a four-letter word that we know of. In other words, it offends people, it scares people, it causes people to run away, it causes people to cover their ears, it causes people to hide, to duck their heads because they're like, what, commit? Listen, if I commit to you, that means I'm locked in. I can't commit. And we see this attitude that's rampant through our society. Amen. Or am I the only one that sees this? If you see that, raise your hand. Yeah. You know, listen, we don't want to commit to any kind of contracts. We have afraid of committing to a commitment that is required for us to obtain. So if somebody says, well, listen, if you want to be a part of this book club, you have to commit for 1 year. No, thanks. I'll just buy it on Amazon. Yeah, it's like, right? Isn't that what we do? Like, I'm not interested. Well, you know what? Now, if you're going to get married, you got to be committed to this relationship. What? You mean I can't have external affairs and I guess I got to be solely committed to that person? I don't even know if I want to live with them yet. Hey, let's live together to see if it works and then we'll get committed, okay? But we're only going to be committed until it actually starts costing us or becomes uncomfortable and then we bail out. That word commitment has caused so many people to turn tail and run. It is an amazing thing, but here's the problem: that if we can't commit over here, or if we can't commit to the Lord, we'll never commit anywhere else. It's just, remember that relationship thing that I've talked about now for 3 weeks? If we don't have our relationship right with God, it's not going to be right with everybody else. And so we have to align this and make the adjustments. And so today we're talking about commitment. Now, who's first time visitor here? If you're a first time visitor, raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. There you go. Give them a hand for being here today. All right, so it'll be your turn next to come up and share. I'm kidding. Some of you are like, hey, I'm here. I'll give you what you want. Others are like, yeah, others are going, uh-uh. As soon as he turns, I'm out the back door. No, we're just glad you're here. We're not going to put you on the spot at all. So today is commitment. And if I was looking this up and researching it out, and because you know we're for those of you who are visiting, we're talking about the five C's in relationship. The five C's are number one is communication. Obviously communication. People have issues. They have problems with communication. Communication is the number one reason for failed relationships. And when I say failed relationships, I'm talking across the board, whether it's at home, at work, spiritually, with your whatever, it friends, it doesn't matter. Lack of communication is the number one reason for failed relationships. And so some of you go, well, hey, I don't say anything ugly. I just don't say anything at all. Lack of communication is the number one reason for failed relationships. Number two reason for failed relationships is cash. Financially, people, when they struggle, they blame somebody else because it becomes this selfish, it's all about me motive. And listen, there's not enough cash to get me what I want, and you're the reason. And so if you go, I'll have the money, and then cash has a tendency to split relationships. If it's not the personal, intimate relationship, it might be the family or friend relationship. I loaned you $20 10 years ago. You never paid it back. I hate you for life. And so, right? So we go into that, and it's like, well, I just can't believe. They owe me $20. Well, why don't you just forgive that debt? No, they owe it to me. And it's like, really, dude? How many times have you given away or spent it foolishly, let it go? No way. They owe it to me. And so cash becomes this huge divisive part of relationships. And then the third week, what we talked about was contacts. You know, the people that you get involved with will determine who you become. As though if your contacts are ungodly and unhealthy in your life, guess what? They will influence all of your relationships. And if they're unhealthy, they will destroy relationships that you already have with other people. For example, if you have a spouse and they go, you know, I really don't like the person you're hanging out with. You know, they have this issue and that issue and blah, blah, blah. And then you start defending them and you choose your contact over your spouse. There's huge issues. There's separation. And then why? What happens is because you're telling that person that you're in a relationship with that these contacts are more important than you. And so we talked about contacts. This week is commitment. Commitment. Wow. This week, we're going to have fun with it. It's going to be a little disparaging. It's going to be a little funny and fun. But more than anything, I hope that when you walk out of here, you look at yourself and go, what is my commitment like? Because next week is on character. And I'm going to tell you right now that commitment and character, they literally go hand in hand. You cannot separate the two of them. And so I have moved over to end it on character, but we're going to look at God's character and then compare ourselves to Him. Because let's be honest, we can't compare ourselves to each other because I'm always going to win. And so, that, yeah, some of you went, I'm better than you. Pride comes before a fall. And so, we line ourselves up with God because of that. That's all that matters, right? How do we look before God? Every relationship is, if we're not right with God, in every aspect that we've talked about, we're not going to be right with our earthly relationships as well. They go hand in hand. God sets the example, and we either follow it or we walk away from it. It is what it is. So on commitment, I thought, let me find a video. Guys, get ready to pull that video up. And I said, it's funny because I actually had a friend of mine that I went to church with. He sent me this video, and I thought, wow, this is like what I need. And so I text him back. And I said, hey, dude, I really appreciate you sending me that video. He goes, what video? And so I go, oh, it wasn't for me. It was for everyone. And he goes, no, but I'm glad you got it. Thanks for the love. So this video really exemplifies commitment, our attitude toward it, and then our reaction or our actions through it. Go ahead and start the video.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Listen, everyone cheering. This is going to be great. Months of training is paying off now. I'm hydrated, glucosed up, and my mental game is on point. Let's do this! Okay, so I'm a little behind on my normal pace. No big deal. Just keep going. And I think I missed a spot on my thigh with my Body Glide. Sure, that won't be a problem. And I don't need to stop for water just yet. Oh, look, here come some hills. That'll be fun. Wait, I'm not even halfway through yet. Feels like I've been running forever. What's with all these hills? The whole course hills? I think it's going to be tougher than I thought. Where is everybody? Am I still on course? I haven't seen a water stop in forever. Why didn't I get water earlier? Well, it's just me, myself, and the road, I guess. Nothing left to do besides confront all of my inner demons. I am going to die! Why did I ever decide to do this? My thighs are raw like two hams, and I think my toenails just fell off. What else could possibly go wrong? Oh, great, the runner's trots! Well, at least I haven't hit the wall yet. I hit the wall! I have never been so tired in all my life. Even my teeth are tired. I think I should just quit. Stop passing me, you jerks! No, I need to power through. I didn't train for months to give up this late. Time to dig deep. Think of that Olympic runner who finished with a broken leg. That was really gross. But the point is, if he can do it, so can I. Now, come on. The finish line is right up there. One foot in front of the other. Yes! I did it! Oh, this is the car. I am going to eat my weight in pastas.
You know, isn't that what life is like? And when we make commitments, number five, I love number five with the runner's trots, but, you know, what happens is we go, I'm committed. Let's do this. I'm in. And then we go, where's everybody at? I'm going to die. This is uncomfortable. I want out. I want to do something different. And then some will go, you know what? Because I gave my word, I'm going to hang in there. And then others go, it's all about me. Sorry. And then they go off and do their own little thing, and they quit and never experience the elation part of it. Never experience the falling on your face because you're so happy and tired all at the same time part of it. And so when we talk about commitment, guys, that's really a beautiful picture of the process of commitment. Because let's be honest, there are times where we make commitments and then we go, why did I do this? Something else better came up. I got guilted into it, and so I'm only doing it because I got guilted into it. And then we say, you know what? I got other things to do. We'll just tell them a little lie. It won't matter. And then we'll get out of it. But the truth is, guys, you not only cheated somebody else of fulfilling their expectations that you promised, but you cheated yourself of your character, and you cheated yourself before God, which means you cheated yourself of the blessings of God on your life. I'm telling you, man, commitment is way more than just saying, I will or I do. That's the beginning stage. Like, that's your first step. Commitment then becomes the marathon. And commitment isn't always a fun thing to fulfill. It's not. I mean, the reality is there are times where we make commitments and we pray for the day that our commitment ends, because it's like, man, I don't ever want to do that again. But the key is that you hung in there and fulfilled it. You didn't attach your character to the negative. One of the things that really caught my attention last week, if you were here, Marcus came up and it Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And if you weren't here, they're still taking donations, I heard. So I'm kidding. The basket's in the back. And so, but he got up and he said this. He said, you know, what I really liked was, Pastor, you kept your word. Did you guys hear that was here? You kept your word. And then it hit me how important, I mean, like, you know how important it is, but all of a sudden you're reminded how important it is to keep your commitment, to keep your word. It's that character thing. So today we're in Luke. And Jesus unfolds this passage in Luke in a really unique way, because we have this tendency to, again, to jump in there, I'm in, and then go, oh, I didn't realize it was all that. Let me get out of it. And we have this tendency. And that's what this whole passage we're going to talk about today is. But if you're not sure that our culture has a fear of commitment, before we jump into this, let me share a few statistics with you to show this. Now this goes back to the 90s on these statistics, and it has only been climbing since. So all these things, it says this: the divorce rate is climbing, more than half of all new marriages end in divorce. Adults feel they have fewer close friends than did adults in past decades. We see this friendship decline, don't we? I mean, we're all friends, we love one another, but everything gets in the way of everything else, because there's just no commitment to the friendship anymore. Number three, brand loyalty in consumer purchasing studies has dropped in most product categories and by as much as 60% in some categories. How many people were committed? Listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, I love BlackBerry, still love BlackBerry. I don't have a BlackBerry, but I love BlackBerry. And I was committed to BlackBerry. So from 93, 94 to 2013, I was all in. And then all of a sudden, they started dropping the ball, but I was still in. And everybody's going, man, why do you got that BlackBerry? Get rid of the BlackBerry. BlackBerry, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, I love my BlackBerry. It does what I want it to do. And so I'm all into the BlackBerry. And then they started dropping the ball, and everybody's going, man, bail on them, bail on them, bail on them, because that was the mentality. Well, finally, BlackBerry messed up, and I just couldn't stay in it anymore, and I left BlackBerry. But I was sold out. People aren't sold out anymore. It's like, oh, better price. I don't care if it's a better product. Let's go with it. Number four, the proportion of people willing to join an organization such as a church, labor union, political party, club, and community association is declining. Book clubs, record clubs are less likely to attract new members when multiple year or multiple product commitments were required. I'll hang in there for this, but man, you're putting too much on there. The percentage of adults who sense a duty to fight for their country, regardless of the cause, has dropped. It's really hard to find Americans today to take a stand, isn't it? Just the commitment isn't there, because when you don't have a commitment to anything else, why would you have it to your country or your God? Number seven, the percentage of people who commit to attend events but fail to show is on the rise. Today's parents are less likely to believe that it is important to remain in an unhappy marriage for the sake of the children than they were 20 years ago. And that was from, all this is from George Barna. And so commitment means pledging yourself to a position no matter the price tag, pledging yourself to a stance no matter the cost. Commitment. Are you committed? And then the question is, what are you committed to? And here's where the problem comes in. And we're going to find this in this passage that we're about to get into, is most people, the majority of the people, they truly are committed. Without question, they are committed. Here's the problem. They're committed to themselves. You see what I'm saying? I mean, everybody's committed, but the problem is most are committed to themselves. Even in a marriage, committed to themselves. In most relationships, committed to themselves. In a relationship with God, committed to themselves. Hey, I'm in. Until. And then we bail. Well, this is what we find that Jesus has to say about commitment. So if you look in Luke 9:57. Now what he's talking about here, because I don't want you guys to think that we're going off track or that I'm taking it out of context, because I would never do that with the passages. You guys know that. Well, those of you that know me or have been here long enough know and understand that I always stay in context of the Word of God. And so from 57 to 62, the context is the cost of discipleship. The context is being committed to discipleship. Discipleship is being committed to share the Word of God with somebody else, to raise them up, to mature them, to grow them so that they'll go out and do the same thing. And so what we're seeing here is a lack of commitment to discipleship specifically, but we're going to apply this to all relationships, okay? And so some of you will like this, some of you won't. That's the coolest part about the Bible. Some of us like it, some of us don't. All right, verse 57, we're going to read 57, 58. There's a casual following here in these two verses. So let's read the whole thing, and then we're going to break it down. Verse 57, now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I love that, man. That's like, Lord, wherever you... Man, I love this attitude. Okay, so go on, verse 58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have air. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's really interesting what Jesus does here and how he says. So the first one that we're going to look at is verses 57 and 58. And what we're talking about is mere involvement versus real commitment. So in 57, he says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. That is an all-in commitment. That is like standing at the top of the diving board and jumping, and once you jumped, there's no turning around. That is commitment. Some of you have heard this before. I've shared it before. The mere involvement versus full commitment would be the chicken and the pig were walking down the road, and they pass this church, and they hear the needs of the church and how the hungry need to be fed. And so the chicken goes, hey, I got a great idea, Mr. Pig. And Mr. Pig said, what is that, Mr. Chicken? And Mr. Chicken said, hey, let's serve all of them a ham and egg breakfast. To which Mr. Pig replied, that is great for you, because for you, you're just involved, but for me, it's total commitment. And so what we're seeing here is this guy is jumping out there like the pig. I'm in wherever you want, Jesus, whatever you want, wherever you want, I'm there. I am in it. To which Jesus responds in 58, and Jesus said to him, and this is really interesting because obviously, God knows their heart, right? Remember the rich young ruler when he says, hey, how can I get into heaven? And Jesus knew his heart, and he says, sell all you have, and you can get into heaven. Obviously, we know money doesn't get you into heaven. Believing in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. There's no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't be rich enough. But he knew his heart, and so he's like, I want to get into the kingdom. And he says, how can I do that, Jesus? Jesus says, sell all you have. And what did it say that the rich young ruler did? He went away sad because he wanted his riches more than he wanted the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus knew that, and that's the only reason he said that, was just to kind of give him his gut check. Well, here is the same thing that's going on in 58. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So when this guy jumps out there, and I'm sure, listen, he had good intentions. I'm sure he was all in. I'm sure he was sold out in his decision. He just wasn't sold out in his heart. And so when Jesus says, listen, you know what? You don't know what you're getting yourself into, because there's no promise of anything. If you're going to follow me, man, it's going to cost you everything, and you may end up with nothing but me. He was giving him the cost of discipleship, the cost of following, of being a disciple, of being a follower of Jesus. And you know what? The man went away sad. It doesn't say that here, but we never hear anything else about it. Because we see by verse 62 that none of them made their decisions. Jesus is showing us that all of these excuses that are given. And that's us. We're committed until the cost. Uh-oh, I can't. Ooh, that hurt. I can't do that one again. We're committed until the cost, most of us. And so Jesus was just telling him, listen, you know what? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? Do you truly understand what you're getting yourself into? Being involved means that you can do what you want, as you want, when you feel like doing it. Being committed means that you are at the call of Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And he's saying, you know what? I don't have no place to lay my head. Everything else does. This is what it means to follow me. It could cost you everything. And then people say, oh, I just want to be involved. I'll take the involved, thank you. David DeWitt says this, to make the decision, consciously or unconsciously, to just be involved creates a system of falling short. We fall short or cheat God by not giving him our best. We fall short of fully offering ourselves, and we cheat ourselves of the blessings of Christ that come only when we become committed. Far too often we settle for being involved in the work of Christ without actually making a commitment to it. Commitment is what Jesus is looking for in all our lives. And he goes on, he says, I commend you for your commitment to be in God's house. I commend you for your commitment that you have for most of your neighbors. And he continues to go on. I commend you for your commitment to serve. I commend you for your commitment. And he goes on with all this stuff. And then he says, if you make a decision to show up on Sunday morning, and that is the limit to your commitment, you won't grow deep in your walk with God. He says, why do I say this? It takes a commitment to give yourself to the work and ministry of Christ to have a growing relationship with him. It takes a commitment to study and know the Word of God to become deeper in your walk with him. It takes a desire to put our priorities in line with God's priorities. This means that he is first and foremost in your life. Anything that comes between you and God or your commitment to God and his kingdom is a stumbling block in your spiritual life. Now, let's just apply this to our commitment to our relationships. Anything that gets in the way between, especially a married couple, becomes a stumbling block. And sometimes enough stumbling blocks, you cannot recover and you fall. And so what we got to realize is, guys, listen, we have to understand that when we go into this commitment, when we give our word to it, especially our vows, you know, today the vows, they're just words. There's no meat to them. There's no meaning to them. There's no passion to them. They're just words. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. I'd seen him in Moe's and had met him. I actually met him at the block party, and he's like, Pastor, I'm going to come. And I go, dude, if you don't, I'm going to keep hunting you down and making you feel guilty until you get here. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would. But anyway, and we were talking, and he and his girlfriend were together, I don't know, 8-9 years. They had 2 kids together, and they were 7-8 years old, and then they separated. And he goes, we were never married, you know, and we separated and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I don't understand because, man, when I went into that, I went into that till death, you know, till he's like, I went into it forever because I wasn't going to be like my parents. I go, but here's the problem, man. I go, you ready for the problem? And he goes, yeah. Now, you guys know I'm just straightforward, right? I go, the problem is you weren't committed in that relationship. And he goes, yes, I was. He goes, because I said I would never be like my parents. I go, then why didn't you marry her? Why did you just live together and stay boyfriend, girlfriend, and have kids? Why didn't you marry her? And he just looked at me. Good point. See, you weren't committed. You always left the door open to run. Always left. Man, listen, when you're committed, there's no door. Like, when you're committed, there is nothing that's going to move you. There is nothing that's going to take you out of it. When you're committed, you're in. And you don't care that there's no place to lay your head. You don't care what the cost is. I told my wife, listen, we're never getting divorced. I am committed to this no matter how miserable I make you. And my wife immediately went into prayer. Committed, man, I'm in. I'm in. Some of you are going, oh yeah, I can sympathize with that one, being with my wife. And so the first thing is a cautious following. And he says, you know what, listen, this is going to cost you. The next thing that he talks about, the first one, let me get my notes going, was a casual following. Then the next one that comes in is the cautious following, verses 59 and 60. Let's look at this. Then he said to another, now listen, the first one came up to him and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Amen. And he was like, okay, let me throw this out there. And I'm sure that guy went stumbling like the rich young ruler. And then the next one doesn't come to Jesus and say, amen. Jesus goes to him. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world, God, Jesus being the Son of God, God in the flesh incarnate, goes to the man and chooses him, picks him. Follow me. I want you. Now think about that. The creator of the world, of the universe, of you and I and everything in it, contrary to evolution, which, by the way, evolution is, are you ready for this? It's a cult, because evolution, by definition, is a religion. It's just a goofy, uneducated religion. Now, if you're an evolutionist, don't get up and walk out at this point, because everybody will know and we don't want to expose anybody. Okay, so, I'm just having a little fun here. So here's the thing. Jesus says, follow me. He's calling him out. He's desirous of him. How many have heard Jesus say, follow me? Yeah. How many here say, Jesus is my Savior? I have surrendered my life to him. How many here are Christians? Saved, born again. Okay, if you're born again, listen. God said, follow me. Guess what? How many? Okay, don't raise your hands. But for those that are here that say, you know what? I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I haven't really given him my life. You know what? He still said to you as well, follow me. And you go, well, how's that? Because when he died on the cross, he said, listen, I died for you to follow me. I died so that you have a way to heaven. I shed my blood so my blood covers you. It covers all your sin, covers all your ugly. By the way, some of us are pretty ugly. And so he says, I died for you. I covered you. And that covering literally translated is follow me. If he didn't want you to follow him, he wouldn't have died for you. You see what I'm saying? So those who have given their lives, you understand it because you're not spiritually discerned or spiritually ignorant, because God has made it clear to you through the Holy Spirit. But for those of you that may be here that said, you know what, I don't know that I'm saved or born again or whatever you call it, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven if I die, it's because you haven't chosen to follow him. But at any rate, he goes on and he says, follow me. Look here in 60. Or 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You be a disciple. You share the word of God. This is what I want you to do. And some of us go, whoa, I'll give you my life, but I'm not going to go out and tell somebody else about you. Like, you're being a little ridiculous, don't you think, Jesus? Don't you understand this is about me and I'm uncomfortable? Right? And so the guy goes, whoa, hold on, Jesus, listen, I'll follow you. But he says, let me go home and first bury my father. But his father's not dead. So what he's really saying is, let me live my life, and when it's convenient for me, Jesus, I'll follow you. Do you see that? Did you, like, it's written in there, it's just in the pastor section, right? That's what he's saying here. He says, listen, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own. Well, maybe he's talking about the spiritual dead. Let the spiritually dead bury their own. We got important things to do. We have the Lord's work to do. And he goes, I can't commit to that. It's got to be my terms, my condition. And so this is a cautious following that we see. Well, then the third point, this is rolling fast. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's because I wore a heavy shirt today and it is hot in here. So is it warm in here or is it just me? It's just, everybody's like, leave the air conditioning alone. Nancy's going, no, give me a fan and ice. I'm with you, Nance. And being a bald man, I can't hide it when I sweat. All right. This is a reality. Okay, so anyway, let's listen up. All right, listen up. I'm talking, you're not. Here we go. Number three, a careful following. 61 and 62, let's look at this. And another also says, so this is three people that we're talking about, three examples that we're talking about. And listen, this could be you and your attitude in your relationships. I'm just showing you what God thinks about people with no commitment. If you are one with no commitment, understand this is what Jesus, this is how God feels about it. Okay? Now, if that makes you feel guilty, good. All right, so verse 61 says, and another also said, Lord. If you notice, they all recognize him of who he is. Lord, Lord, I know who you are. I'm just not interested. Lord, I will follow you. Look at this. Listen, are you reading this with me? Lord, I will follow you. And what's the next word? Oh man, everybody's got a butt, little butt, big butt, but everybody's got a butt. I'll follow you, but. Every time I hear that word but, I already know there's trouble coming. Pastor, you know what? I think you do a great job, Pastor. I think, man, I love your preaching. Pastor, you know, so I'm building myself up. And Pastor, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, I'm like, man, well, first off, when you were building me up so big, I knew a but was coming. But, and then, you know, and I'm going, really? And it, because our commitment really kind of goes with this attitude, doesn't it? I'm in, but if the cost comes, I'm out. I'm in, but if I get uncomfortable, I'm out. I'm in, but if I get seats to the ball game, see ya. Right? I know, none of you go to ball games. Nobody likes sports in here. As you're watching, you know, I've had people say, hey, you can't have, you cannot have Sunday night service. This used to be when we had Sunday night services and other churches have it. And they're like, Pastor, I'm all in. But if you have a Sunday night service on Super Bowl Sunday, I'll see you the next week. Sports got to go first. All right. Anyway, that's another message. Okay. So he says 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you. Now, this is voluntary. You notice he didn't call this one. He only called the one. These are two voluntary. One was involuntary where Jesus said, follow me. He says, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Lord, I'll follow you, but my family is more important. Lord, I'll follow you, and I'm committed after I take care of my family. After I take care of this other stuff, then Lord, I'm committed to you after. You see what they're saying? Lord, I'm committed to you when it's convenient for me. Lord, I'm committed to you until it costs me something. But Lord, these other relationships come before you. But the truth is, he would tell the same thing to the other relationships. I'm in, but why? Because if you're not focused and grounded in one, you're not going to be focused or grounded in anything else. You've heard the old saying, if you go after two rabbits, you don't catch either. It's just you're not going to catch either one. And so this is a careful following, but I want you to see what happens here in 62, Jesus' response. Because he's like, look, the one says, I'll follow you, but let me first go and do what I want to do. Let me first go and put things before you. And then in 62, Jesus says this. No one, now guys, you gotta hear this, because this is like a kick in the drawers, if you will. This is like a little, you know? Okay, maybe it is for me, not you. But he says this, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, and by the way, this passage here, when I was ordained at my ordination, and I was ordained as an older gentleman, my pastor came up to me and he said, John, or no, I'm sorry, I sold my business, we sold our house, and my wife and I and daughters were moving to Missouri to go to Bible college. I was going to Bible college, and I was a 10th grade dropout. Never really committed to anything. Never really finished anything in my life. I'll just be honest with you guys. I would run this race up to a certain point, and then I would go, I'm out. Anybody ever been like that? And so I finished college. I started in 02, graduated in 06. It was May of 02 I started, or August of 02 I started college. May of 06 I finished college. 4-year degree, and in and out, man, you know what? We were committed to stay debt-free. We left college. And when I say Bible college, since it's a recognized college around the world, in other words, SUNY Albany accepts all the credits that I took at this college. So it's whatever you call it, it's recognized. So it's not like I just went and studied theology every day and then went home. I had to do English. I had to do math. I had to do algebra. Anybody do out? Who's good at algebra? I mean, good at it, legitimately. Where were you when I needed you? I had to do algebra. Listen, you got to understand that when I dropped out of high school because of drugs, Donna goes, shh, he's going to yell at you. When I dropped out, the first shh was your clue. When I dropped out of, I'm sorry, I'm having fun today. When I dropped out of high school, though, in 10th grade, because I was a drug addict and just didn't care about life, algebra wasn't even a requirement. Okay, did I just say how old I was? Algebra, I look good for my age, don't I? Algebra wasn't even a requirement. So now I'm in college and they go, you got to take algebra. And I go, any way around this? Anywhere. But you know what? I was committed to graduating. I was committed to fulfilling what God called me to do. And it was painful and it hurt, but I was committed. And so I took algebra, and I passed with a B. Cost me a lot of money. And so, I'm kidding. I mean, I was in it, right? I was in it to win it. I'm going, man, I'm in this thing. I was committed to graduating college, and here was my goal. Because, you know, if you don't set goals, guys, you'll bail out. You don't have nothing to reach, right? So my goal was to graduate college. Here I am, high school dropout, 10th grade. I'm in college. Start college at 35 years old, graduated at 39. So I was an older guy. As a matter of fact, everybody in there was young enough to be my child. And so I said, you know what? I want to graduate with a 3.5 GPA. Man, that's an impressive goal. Okay, for me, that was over the top. I did not graduate with a 3.5. I graduated with a 3.38. I was the class speaker, so I graduated with honors. Because I was committed, God honored that. I took Greek. I had hair when I started Greek. I looked like this when I finished Greek. 2 years of it. But God honored the commitment. Guys, I'm telling you, guys being a general, guys, gals, the whole. If you go into a commitment and you're committed to the commitment, God will bless you. And he'll honor that. Now, we've seen from the video, it's not always going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a struggle at times. But look what Jesus says. 62. Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. My pastor, when I went to college, I got a Bible leaving the church. They gave me a Bible as a going away present. And because I was going to Bible college and didn't have one, and they thought I needed it. And so they give me a Bible, and on the cover, inside cover of the Bible, my pastor wrote, never forget Luke 9:62. And so when I seen that, immediately I went and got a Bible and opened. I had the Bible. Stay up. And I opened it up to 9:62, and there it was. And at that moment, I was probably more committed to the ministry than ever before. And God has honored that. And so what I want to tell you is there's three different kinds of people here that Jesus is looking at. But the bottom line is, if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Finish what you started. Finish what you started. If you give your word to it, finish what you started. If you got married, finish what you started. Listen, and I understand that, you know what, you're one person, and if somebody else is another, and you can't control their heart, but I'm telling you, finish what you start. If you commit to God, finish what you start. If you're committed to yourself to be holy, finish what you start. If you're committed to somebody, even for a short time, finish what you started. Finish. Finish strong. Finish on time. Finish. Because God really says, I have no use. This is going to be harsh. By the way, this is in my footnotes. May not be in yours. Jesus says, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Here's what he's really saying. I have no use for quitters. Ouch. I guess Jesus said it better. And so, but that's really what he's saying is, listen, I have no use for quitters. Okay, was that a fair translation? Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Finish what you start. I don't care what it is. Listen, as you know what? One of the biggest things is parents, you make promises to your children, and they're the first heart that you break. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Finish what you started. Because if you don't, you raise up another generation that's going to do what you did. Finish what you started. You want to be trusted? Finish what you started. You honor and value the relationship? Finish what you started. Finish. Finish. Hang in there. Even if you're at mile 5 and you get the runner's trots, finish what you started. Even when you are at what was it, 6 or 7, and everybody, you feel like you're wasting your time and everybody's passing you up, and man, they're getting bigger and better things and they got a better job, and man, they're outshining you, and you go, wow, you know what? If I wasn't in this commitment, I could have what they have. Finish what you started. Don't get caught up in everybody else, because you don't know the misery that they're in. Man, they may have wonderful things, but they're dying on the inside. Don't let Satan lure you away through the lust of the flesh. Finish what you started. Finish. That is what Jesus says here in this passage with all three excuses. He ends with, I have no use for quitters. Finish what you start. And if you can't finish, don't commit to it. Because your character is completely jeopardized with everybody around you. Oh, hey, let's call so-and-so. Nope, we can't trust them. They're flighty, man. They're in and they're out. We don't know what's up with them, so we got to look somewhere else. And then you lose blessings. Man, I'm telling you, finish what you started. That's what he calls us to do. And he says, I just don't have the time for those who aren't real and aren't real committed. And you go, that's harsh, Pastor. No, that's the truth of the gospel. That's the truth of that passage. And you go, you're telling me all these requirements that God expects me to get in there and finish. You know how hard that is? Yes, I do, because you know how many times I've wanted to quit? Honestly, being totally transparent, there have been times where I said, God, I'm out. I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out. I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. You called me. I said yes. And then you gave me the book of requirements. That was not fair. Right? Anybody been there with me on that? Right? You're like, holy smoke, man. What did I get myself into? God, you didn't tell me it involved all this. And so I'm like, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out. I want out. I want out. God, I want out. And my pastor at home says, you can want to quit all you want to quit. You just can't quit. But you can want to all you want to. It's okay. Man, there's times where it just gets tough. I'm at mile 5. I'm at stage 5 and stage 6 on running this marathon. And there's times where I'm on the ground. I'm sucking wind. I'm sweating. Obviously, you see, I sweat a lot. And so I'm going, man. And then I see people going by and I'm going, man, you got it made. What are you, you know, have you ever been there? And then finally God goes, get up, shut up, and go. And then I get up. I don't really be quiet because I grumble. Right? Anybody with me? But don't quit. Finish. Finish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. And Lord, we take you for granted and we take advantage of you because, Lord, we just take advantage of our relationship, Lord, because sometimes our attitude is not an attitude of commitment. But Lord, as we see your word, you tell us to finish. Finish. Just jump in. Commit to it all and finish no matter what the cost. Lord, I pray right now for each and every person in here. Lord, that they truly grab hold of and understand commitment. And Lord, commitment to the relationships that they're in. But Lord, full commitment to yours first. And then we understand the rest. Lord, for those who are here and they're struggling with their marriage, Lord, they're struggling with wanting to bail out. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see that quitting and running is not the answer, but finishing strong the commitment, their word, that's where it's at. Lord, no excuses. And Lord, if they got to change their attitude to make somebody else's attitude better so that they can hang in on that commitment, Lord, convict them of what they have to do so they can hang in there and finish. Lord, for those who are just half committed to you, Lord, I pray right now that they would stop and realize you don't want that, Lord. You want full commitment. And Lord, you'll bless us for that. Lord, you tell us in Hebrews that you're already committed because you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Lord, you show us full commitment. And so, Lord, for anybody here that's struggling today to honor you with their commitment, strengthen them, Lord. Pick them up, Lord. Dust them off. Remind them of their commitment. And then empower them to finish the race, to finish the course, to finish strong, to finish honoring you. And Lord, you'll bless them for that. And so, Lord, I pray your hand upon each and every one here today, that they would be committed to you first, and then everything else that they agree to. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.